Right here at the NoMetropodcast.com, we are sure to fuck up one show a month.
We've regressed.
Oh, kind of like the 2014 Saints.
Hey! All right, it's something in the water.
Yeah, the problem is you're using a 1986 Tandy computer to go with your fucking, internet. Your Commodore 64. How's that working out for you, Jeff?
Got a high score on Pitfall. What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero. Obviously, this is a bi-week episode, so there may be some non-football conversation, because not much news has changed since we last saw our beloved underachieving football team. We certainly don't want to keep saying the same stuff over and over, like debating whether Breeze is in decline, but we might start bitching about some wide receivers tonight. We're going to point out the wet paper towel that is our defensive line, and we're going to try and refrain from tightening our asses as we stare down the next six games. We're going to attempt to put the past behind us and be the optimists that we used to be. We love the Saints, we love New Orleans, and we love being able to talk about it. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I thought last week was the bye week episode. Did we do two, or is this just part two?
It's kind of, yeah. Last week was entering the bye week, and now we're coming out of the bye week.
Okay. I'll go with the two.
Okay.
Just trying to...
It was a one.
It was a one, but that was... That was 10 minutes ago.
Zootaloo, I have been released by one. Damon, welcome to the show. Any number?
No.
Hashtag as is tradition. So, since there's no game to recap, the best thing I guess we could do is kind of go from a... Based on the first five games that we've witnessed, and we start to look forward to the second part of the season, are there any adjustments that you guys would want to make to give us a fighting chance this year?
Well, there are definitely several.
I shouldn't say are there. I should say let's discuss which ones you would make.
Cornerback, covering wide receivers. That would help.
Sure. It's usually a necessity in today's NFL.
Yeah. Receiver catching the ball when they hit them in the hand.
Oh, so now that's two adjustments already, Damon, right off the bat.
Right. You know, if we can do that, I'm pretty sure we'll be all right.
Yeah. A little pass rush could help. A little pass rush could help.
See, the pass rush, now you get to it. The pass rush would then help the defensive backs in their coverage. I don't know if that any of that would help the receivers. I mean, maybe the receivers, you'd have to...
Get different receivers involved.
Oh, I thought you just said get different receivers.
Right. Get him involved. Kenny Stills only has 10 catches. He needs to get more. I mean, I know he's coming off the injury, so they kind of eased him back, but... just seems too talented to not get more, not be more involved in the game plan.
Yeah.
Was he hurt in the?
Yeah.
Remember he hurt. Yes, he was hurt in mini camps. Then he practiced and he hurt himself right away, and then he came back during a preseason game and he tweaked it again.
That's right. I do remember that.
He hasn't been 100%.
Yeah. He's a big part of our offense. At least he was last year. And a nice surprise.
The question at hand then is, do you bring up Brandon Coleman from the practice squad now and maybe replace somebody? And this is coming from an article that I read, and it kind of lists out all of our receivers' production. Well, first of all,
have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Six wide receivers combined have caught 51 of Drew Brees' passes, all right, out of 150. They've caught, our six receivers combined have caught 51 of 150 passes for 563 of 1,500 yards.
You're basically looking at a third.
Oh, and they've only got two touchdowns. That means the majority of the Saints' passing offense is coming from the tight ends and running backs. Brandon Cooks leads our receivers 32 catches, 255 yards, and a touchdown. Marcus Colston is second with half the catches, 15. But the same yardage production, 248, and a touchdown. although Colston was shut out an entire game, and of course he had he's got fumbleitis. Kenny Stills, 10 catches, 141 yards, but
he's also missed.
Right, right. Look, yeah, no one wants to hear you ramble stats on the radio.
This is where they get interesting. Nick Toons played one game and no catches, no yards. Joe Morgan's played one game, no catches, no yards. Robert Meacham, who's played, I believe, all the games, 4 catches, 60 yards. Out of those three guys, I think Brandon Coleman could step up and take somebody's place.
I don't know about that.
Again, I mean, I don't know how often the others were targeted or looked at. We all know that we all heard, Meacham is the blocker downfield. I don't agree with that. Okay, if you bring one of those guys up, like you say Coleman, you have to sit Meacham down. You have to not dress him. And what does Coleman give you? I mean, what does Coleman give you more that Meacham doesn't?
Could you bring Coleman up now that Jimmy Graham's out?
Well, no, we signed another tight end.
Yeah, and Graham isn't on IR. He's just hurt, so.
I just don't see how.
I don't see how you want to cling to.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, I don't, like, does Meacham play special teams? Does anybody know? I mean, I would almost think he'd have to be involved in special teams to be worth them dressing him out over Morgan. I don't know about Toon. I don't know what the fuck Toon's deal is.
But definitely over Morgan. Look, we've seen Morgan produce in a real NFL game and real NFL season and making those game-changing plays. So, yeah, I would like to see more of Joe Morgan. I have no clue why we're not.
I think we definitely need more out of our passing game than Meacham's 4 catches and 60 yards and his blocking that he does downfield. Fuck, get Joe Morgan to block. I mean, he can't be that bad. I mean,
yeah.
You know, because everything's like, oh, our offense, we can't throw deep. Well, we got this fast guy that's just sitting on the sideline, and we're wasting him with Meacham, who can't run anymore. Their thought process as to why that's happening, but it would seem like you'd want to get any kind of playmaker.
He's not going to drop Meacham.
Don't drop him, then just don't dress him out.
He's not going to
dress
do
out
that.
Somebody else.
I think Peyton and Meacham have
threesomes together.
Maybe. I mean, I think they have there's a certain kind of loyalty that I think Peyton has to Meacham.
How's that working out for us?
Kind of sucks that it's there. I mean, maybe Peyton wants that blocking for the run game or the screen game, which is a lot more important to our offense than the deep ball.
It's important, but is it more important?
To Sean Payton, it might be. I haven't seen proof otherwise.
Well, look, I'll tell you one of the things your stat shows, and we've noticed it over the last couple of years. Look, unlike in 2009, what we were known for was spreading the ball around. Everybody getting a chance at the ball, everybody getting a catch. We can remember that glorious Super Bowl drive where we went to take the lead for the last time. Drew was 8 for 8 on that drive with 8 different receivers.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely seems to me, and the stats seem to back it up, that is not happening now. Why not? Is Drew looking receivers down, or is he focusing on receivers, play calling? I'm not sure. Or, has the other receivers downgraded since then? Does Breeze not have the confidence in them as he did Shockey and, others in 2009?
Well, I mean, look, Colston and Meacham, both older. They're not getting any better.
I think Colston's past his prime.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he definitely is. Yeah, he definitely is.
I mean, he's not going to have another.
I mean, he could still be capable, but it's not.
Right.
You're not going
to. And who did they bring in to replace him? Nick Toon?
Supposedly. I mean, as far as height and.
So maybe it's your boy Brandon Coleman.
Maybe. He can't do worse than Toon.
Well, I don't know. Toon doesn't get on the field. So.
There you go. We can't get worse than that.
I don't know. He doesn't have good. Brandon Coleman doesn't have the best hands. Receivers dropping balls. You may not want to put a guy in that can't catch anything. But like Damon said, I don't know why Morgan's not in there unless it still has to do with his injury. If he's still not 100%,
And I forget if we read this or if we came up with it or we read it from an article, but I know we talked about it. Sometime after the season ends, we'll get the scuttlebutt on what really happened, why Joe Morgan isn't on the field, if it's injury or something like that. And that is, I am tired of the secrecy and the, you know, every injury is like a fucking, you know, CIA top secret mission. Look, we're 2-3. You being that secret isn't helping that much. It really isn't. Tell me what the hell's going on so I can feel better.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
You didn't have a problem with it when we were winning.
Well, you get away with a lot of shit when we're winning, because you know what? I didn't have any questions. I didn't have to say, well, why are we winning? We used to lose, and now we win. What has changed?
What's the deal?
I demand to know why you're putting players in that make it.
Why
difference.
Is our offense so good?
Although Drew Brees did say a couple weeks ago, was there ever a time that did Sean Payton or Drew Brees ever give you any reason to doubt their ability to turn things around?
Yeah, 2007, 0-4 start. Yeah, I would say that.
But they turned things around to a degree. I mean, they finished what? Well, they went 7-9.
Well, here. And you know,
7-9.
And I've heard 7-9 is a losing season.
Yeah.
And I've heard on the radio, you know, before the season starts, talk about how important a fast start is for this team, or Sean Payton team, because you're right. When you drop those four games, you know, you're out of it. I'm sorry. We dropped our first two this year and dropped 3 out of 5. You know, a third of the season's gone, folks, and this is a 6-10 record if we continue to go like this.
That would be the worst Sean Payton team ever.
Yes. No offense, 7-9. 7-9 ain't gonna make me do any dances, okay? Oh, look, well, we came back. You know. No, we have come to expect a certain level of play on the field by this coaching staff and these players.
But we have won the last 2 of 3, right?
Yes, but we've lost the last 2 of 5.
Right. You can manipulate stats anyway. Last
2 of 5.
But at least you won 1 and 2.
Well, you're 2 and 3,
so at least you're winning.
No, but you know what? They count all the games. You're not allowed.
I understand that, but there's trends.
This isn't an average where you get to right and. And the trend
it was also Minnesota and Tampa.
Right, and the trend is that Tampa has gotten ass raped over 2 of the last 3 games, except with us, where we had to come back in overtime to beat them.
At home.
Baltimore spanked them this week.
So we're the
and Atlanta,
worst.
Huh?
So we're the best of the worst.
You know, and Atlanta took them to the woodshed. So no, I'm not particularly optimistic going forward.
But I said we were in the opening.
You said that.
You said that.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not a purveyor of doom. There is still optimism for me. I mean, we still got fucking 11 games left. There's a lot of season to go. It's not.
Let me give you a reason to be hopeful then. John Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
All right, boys, let's do this.
John Jenkins is back, and I think he's going to get a little bit more playing time. And in case you never noticed, there was this other guy that they were playing instead of him. I don't even know his first name, but his last name's Dedrick or Dredrick or something. Anyway, this guy was fucking terrible. And the only reasons we came to the conclusion that Jenkins was not playing was he had the injury, right? Jason, earlier in the
he got injured in, I think he tore a muscle in minicamps maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't ready, and he came back and played a game, but didn't play particularly well
at the Cleveland game.
Yeah, so just maybe he's not ready yet. So let's sit him, because he didn't even travel to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of raised some eyebrows that he didn't even travel, but. He played last week, and
Coach Bill Johnson said that he looked a little quicker. He looked more like his old self. that he played strong at the point of attack, and it looks like he's finally got the number of reps it takes for a big man like that to play. So I think you're going to see a lot more of John Jenkins, which should make Cam and Junior better, which should have that domino effect. And all of I'm going to bet you if John Jenkins plays, that our whole defense improves.
Okay, you're staking a pretty big claim on old John.
Well, he's
Jenkins
a pretty big guy.
Yes.
Well, look, I mean, obviously a D-line getting pressure on the quarterback and stopping the run is huge for the rest of the defense. You never hear the Dome Patrol. You never hear them in an interview where they don't mention how great their defensive line was and give them credit for the Dome Patrol linebacking
Wayne Martin,
success.
Huh? No. Or did Wayne Martin come later?
He was later. It was Pig Golf, Jumpy Gathers, and Frank Warren.
Mm.
And those three guys, look, your defensive line eats up blocks and let your linebackers go free. And like you said, obviously, the pressuring of the quarterback, getting him off kilter and making him, make hurried throws he doesn't want to make. So, and then a big nose tackle like Jenkins is, eats up a lot of people's attention. So, yes, I think we could see improved play with Jenkins in. I think we already have.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, I hope you're right, Jeff. I'd love to. Obviously, that's better for all of us if he really can make
it. He's your boy.
I don't know if he's my boy, but I mean, I liked him. I liked the move to get him, to get the trade to get him. I did like that.
Well, there you go.
Have y'all ever taken a vacation on Google Maps?
No.
What?
What do you mean?
What the fuck is that?
You know how Google Maps, you know, you can do the street view?
Oh, yeah.
I just like to go places and just do the street view and slowly stroll up. It's like a vacation. And I sit in my room.
So what are you looking at now?
Right now.
Obviously, you're looking at it.
Right now, I'm in Tulum, Mexico.
Okay.
South of Cancun.
South of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray. South of the border, down Mexico way. She was a picture.
And I have an incredible urge for some Mexican food.
Oh, my God.
I think I might go to Taco Bell after we get off the phone.
Oh, you want me to meet you there? Oh. I might want some, too.
Is that really Mexican food?
Sure.
Well, I guess that's the best you can get at this point. Coretta's will be closed.
There you go.
Exactly.
Okay, let's advance the show to headline.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And the only headline I've really got to discuss is the Jimmy Graham injury and how you feel like it's going to affect us over the next, what do we say, 2, 3, 4 weeks?
Schefter said 2 to 3 weeks, but then somebody came out today and said Graham might try to play this week.
I don't think that's
I mean,
true. I think
that's... I would tend to lean against that. If this injury is as serious as people seem to think it is, and they signed another tight end.
Right. I think rumor of him playing is just it's a Sean Payton smokescreen. And, the fact that he even is doing that is so tired. And I'm going to do a little complaining.
You're also assuming that he's doing that.
Well, it reeks of Sean Payton. And just like the fake punt in the Dallas game, it's the same old shit that everybody's used to. Like, Sean Payton's got to make some – I mean, Grandpa Sean – needs to change his game up a little bit.
Maybe he is changing up and you just don't realize it.
Okay. Sign a tight end, then say Jimmy's going to play. Gotcha. if that's not a fake punt against Dallas, I don't know what is.
Well, he's about to unleash Josh Hill on the league.
There you go.
That's his master plan.
Well, look, Josh Hill and Watson are capable substitutes.
No substitute.
No substitute for you.
No substitute.
No baby dust.
No substitute
for you, girl.
No substitute
for you now.
Can they replace him? No. Jimmy Graham special. One of the best top 10, you know, receivers in the league. Tight end, running back, wide receiver, whatever. Yeah, so they can't replace him, but they can. And you know what? Someone like, look, you, when they put Graham on the field, the defense is looking at Jimmy Graham. You know why Josh Hill is open? Because no one's looking at Josh Hill.
Right.
No one's saying, oh, my God, Josh Hill is on the field. Make sure y'all cover him.
I think Detroit will cover him.
Well, they're going to have to now. Yeah. Right. Jimmy doesn't play, of course.
I guess they're not going to put the same guy that they might have put on Jimmy.
Exactly. That's my point. They're not going to. They're not game planning for Josh Hill, okay?
Right.
No one. I think.
Well, I don't know. Josh Hill still might be the best receiver out there besides Brandon Cooks.
Well, yeah.
You want me to read the stats again?
No. Well, maybe not having Jimmy for a game will focus their attention on trying to get the receivers more involved. Maybe they should just fucking play Joe Morgan.
That's not what you said.
I know.
We'll be fine in that position. I'm not worried about it. Again, let's start going to what we had before, spreading the ball around so you couldn't take one receiver out of the game and slow us down. Because in years past, 2011, 10, and 9, you couldn't take one person out and stop this offense. It didn't matter. I don't know if the change is because of Breeze's lack or diminishing skills. Again, maybe the only reason, you know what, the tight ends might have the most catches because he's the only one he can see over the fucking offensive line. He needs tall receivers. You know, he needs people 6'4" and above so he can see. Oh, look, there's a helmet. I'm going to throw it to it.
It's the only helmet he sees running across the field. Oh, there it is. That's why it's either a pass to a tall guy, Colston, tall.
Graham
tall, Josh Hill tall.
Oh, Cooks has a shit ton of catches, and he's.
But that's sure. Because he throws it out to Cooks.
Yeah, and that's something. I was just thinking about it. You know, people. Yeah, I mean, it sucks. We're not throwing it deep on top of just spreading the offense out, getting points. But God, those big 60-yard pass plays are just so much fun when you're watching it, and you can cheer. Like I'm dying to see Cooks finally get loose and let him. You know, give them a play design where he could run past the guy and just toss it up and let him get a 60-70 yard
bomb. I think there's a couple of things about that. One is there might be something to Breeze not being able to see him. That might be it's funny, but it might be true, and that comes down to the timing, right? It's just got to be a timing route, and maybe they're just taking a little time getting to know the speed. You know, every time they practice, they get a little bit closer to that happening. Maybe by the second half of the season, we will see Brandon Cooks start to go for deep balls.
Well, you know, it's not just deep balls. What I've noticed, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but I see a lot of receivers in this league running a little in route, you know, streaking across the offensive line, catching the ball and taking it for big gains. I don't remember us doing one time with Brandon Cooks. You know, I don't remember that one time with Brandon Cooks where you take, you know, does a little slant.
Brandon Cooks has caught the ball across the middle of the field before.
Running slants?
Okay. He has, but it hasn't turned into, you know, like a 25-yard gain or.
It did in preseason.
Well, it's preseason.
Just saying.
Preseason.
They don't count those stats.
Right.
Just saying.
It's preseason, but it's really practice.
Well, it's preseason.
I mean, he's done it in practice.
Half the team, you know, 30% of the guys playing or don't even make a team.
Right. You know,
80%?
80% of stats are just made up on the spot.
No, 50% of our recordings aren't recorded.
Are you sure it's 50?
Might have made that up.
Yeah, right, probably so. It sounded good at the time.
Yeah. All right. So that's the Jimmy Graham injury. Anything else to say about that? No? Okay, good. No. Let's move ahead to NFL Reach Around.
Okay.
assuming y'all want to talk a little bit about the tie.
Yeah, the three games that mattered to me this week, I went 1-1-1. Atlanta lost, which, you know, obviously the most important. Then you had, I consider this a loss. I mean, Carolina was being beat. They were done. Cincinnati had to make a 36-yard field goal with no time left in overtime. And I guess he's been watching Shane Graham because he just missed it. Were y'all watching the game? Did y'all?
I wasn't watching the game, but when I found out, I was like, when I saw what happened, I mean, I wasn't playing golf, I was going all day, but when I saw what happened, I was like, really?
Yeah.
35, 36, that's it? I mean, that's cheap shot.
I was falling in and out of sleep, and every now and then I'd open my eyes and see the time on the clock, and then I remember overtime starting, and I'm like, okay, Dallas might actually win this game.
What?
What?
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
Carolina-Dallas. I mean, not Carolina-Dallas. I'm talking about Dallas and Seattle, and they did win. Never mind.
What the fuck are we talking about?
Get the fuck out. We're not even talking about
that. Are you paying attention?
What the fuck, S? Are you a fucking idiot?
I'm just
saying. Where did you learn to fucking spell it? A fucking
I got confused.
You fucking imbecile. Shut the fuck
up. Just listen to what I'm saying. No one ever listens to what I'm saying. Just
talking.
Spell the word for you again, and you're gonna tell Grandpa what we spelled. All right, here we go.
Okay.
And Sammy, you keep your fucking trap shut.
Consider it done.
He's obviously
I not. Had written Carolina/Dallas, and I got the two games merged in my head.
What are you Google mapping looking at right now?
And I'm on vacation. I'm fucking better than you.
No, I did not watch that game. I think I did. That was the one that came on before Dallas Seattle, right?
Or was it?
Yeah,
I guess
yeah.
It would have been.
Yeah,
a
right. Dallas right. Seattle was the.
I'm back.
Yeah, it's just damn. And I mean, Nugent's been around for a while. I mean, like kickers miss kicks, but fuck, man.
I mean, again, it's a tie, so it's we got half what we wanted, half what we didn't want.
It's better than them winning.
Yeah, it is better than them winning. But if we finish with the same record that they do, let's say we're both, you know, we could be optimistically 10-6, and they could be 10-5-1, and that'll be the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we sweep them, 10-5-1 is the tiebreaker over 10-6.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, we basically have to get one more win than they do.
Right. In the win column.
What do you think about this whole tie thing? You think they ought to leave it the way it is, or just say, hey, sudden death until...
Yeah, it works
whenever.
In soccer.
No, leave it the way it is. It happens so infrequently, you know. Now, again, you know, this wouldn't be a tie if it wasn't for the Brett Favre rule, you know, because their golden boy in 2009 didn't make the Super Bowl. Cincinnati would have won the game because they went down and got a field goal on their first drive.
I mean, you're right. It really doesn't happen often enough to really cause a problem, but let's just hope the guy that's not it doesn't end up being
bite us in the butt.
Right.
But Atlanta got skull dragged by Chicago, a 23-13 loss, and that is
Atlanta's season is turning out into everything we thought.
Let me tell you. I mean, of course,
the toughest
off,
crusade.
But I went on the Atlanta message board, and it was melting down. And it was so much fun to see.
That's the problem. I want to keep Mike Smith around. I don't want him to be that bad where he gets fired. I want him for another year.
More Mike Smith. I mean, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want him gone. No, I think him and Dimitrov, you know.
Yeah.
Keep them there, man. They're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Just because you had two losing seasons doesn't mean. And I'd be surprised if Blank let them go this year. I kind of would be, but man, you know, I don't know.
He might let Smith. I don't think he'll let them both go. I think if anything, he'd fire Smith but keep Dimitrov. I don't know that he'd fire them both.
Yeah, I think in that organization, Dimitrov makes more of the personnel decision than Smith does. Unlike like in New Orleans, I think Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis is kind of a 50-50 or even maybe 60-40 Sean's favor. Hey, look, I need this. This is what I want. This is what I want. You know,
go get it.
This is what I want. Well, I think in Atlanta, I think it's totally different. Now, this is just from watching you know, Hard Knocks, I think the GM there comes in and says, hey, look, boy, this guy would be a good replacement. And based on that, I would think the GM should go before Mike Smith. All based on that logic. Now, again, I'd like to see them both stay because they both appear to be incompetent at their jobs.
Right, right.
And I like Atlanta incompetent. Hey, but again, their fans, you know, their fans are just having such a miserable decade. I'm so happy. Because, of course, during their five winning seasons, which remember, they had never had any more, they had never had back-to-back winning seasons before.
No, no.
So,
right. Yeah,
so when they had two winning seasons for them, if you know, you would have thought they had won the Super Bowl, and five in a row, and then getting to the NFC Championship game, and then losing, and having all that hope and all that expectation just to be crushed is just wonderful. I know it must be misery for them. And then during the
1-4 in the playoffs,
and then during that same period, of course, the Saints, you know, have their golden age and win a Super Bowl. So. Fuck you, Atlanta, and fuck all the Falcons fans.
I think
it makes me feel better about myself.
In addition to that, we had some bittersweet. Dallas did beat Seattle, which is good for us in the Seattle hate department, bad for us in the Dallas hate department. But I have to say, I prefer to have Dallas win that game than Seattle because it was in Seattle, and at least
it's all about playoffs. If the Saints find a way to make the playoffs, I don't want to go to fucking Seattle. I'd rather go to Dallas and go to Seattle.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good point.
Amen. Amen. And Jeff, I'm picking up what you're putting down right there. Exactly. As far as hate goes, I liked seeing the Seattle fans dejected in their home stadium because you can't win at the home of the 12th man. Ooh.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
You know, go fuck yourself. You have been a loser in that stadium a lot longer than you have ever had any success. I notice your stadium is sold out now that y'all are winning. It will be quiet like a church very soon when the cheater coach you have leaves. Your quarterback is not the next coming of Drew Brees just because he's short. He is a decent young quarterback that anybody would be happy to have on their team. But he's not an elite quarterback by any stretch of the imagination.
And you know, I don't know. He's pretty good.
He's good. You think he's?
He's.
You think he's elite?
I think he's better than Matt Ryan.
Well, you think Matt Ryan's elite?
Not necessarily. I didn't say that.
Okay. Yeah, I said.
I will never say that.
I said he's a good young quarterback that everybody would be happy to have on their team. But he's not Brady, Brees, Manning, Rodgers. He's not even Luck. Look, that
I don't know.
Went,
I think that might be too early to say. I understand it's coming from a point of hatred.
No.
But of course he's not. Of course he's not Breeze, Brady, or Rodgers. Kid's only got three seasons of football.
Look, that team wins because of its defense, not because of its offense.
Well, but he does make. I mean, obviously they lost this week, but he does make a lot of plays.
He extends plays. But he also...
He makes plays.
He extends plays.
Even I can admit he makes plays.
He extends plays. Yes, he makes plays by extending the play and his mobility.
And then he makes the play. And then he makes the play.
Makes the play how?
Makes the pass. Runs the ball. I mean, the motherfucker ran for 100 yards last week.
Right. You know, he's a fucking quarterback. If your quarterback is running for 100 yards, you're fucked. You're fucked.
No, you're not.
Yes.
Eventually.
He doesn't run for 100 yards every game, but he can do that.
And you will, and they will lose when he does that.
Okay. All right.
Go back and look. You know, when your quarterback is running, you're in trouble.
That's
your
true.
Quarterback's first and thing, well, take care of the ball. Take care of the ball. And the second thing, it's the
you
pass
want
to send
that downfield.
Right, but I don't think he goes. But he doesn't go to look to run like Michael Vick.
No.
Or a guy like that, he goes
even,
to pass.
No, exactly, exactly. No,
but he can run.
You're right. He is not a run first quarterback, and I like that about him.
But
you know,
Damon's saying like the fact is, if he ended up having to run, it means that the receivers are not getting open.
Right, and you know,
that's a little like the Saints.
Yeah.
Drew's not running.
Oh right! I'm not.
No, he's going to flip the ball up in the air.
Right. He's going to punt. He's going to punt the ball and hope we catch it.
All right. Anything else y'all want to talk about in NFL reach around?
Just the media sucking Dallas' cock.
Well, and that was the thing. Look, last week I went on the rant. This is why the Dallas win was bittersweet. Because if you remember last week, I had the rant about them sucking Dallas' cock because they beat. God, I forget who they beat last week.
I don't know, but you said 39 minutes.
Right, 39 minutes. I didn't even turn on the recap show.
The station went to black. Like it was overloaded with excitement.
I think Michael Irvin actually dropped his trowel and was pleasuring himself on the screen. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that was the actual
on air
thing. Oh my goodness!
Ejaculating.
Right. So, I wouldn't even attempt to watch that. So again, that was the bittersweetness. I enjoyed the pain of the Seattle fans, but I could not stand the
celebration.
Crowning the Dallas Cowboys champion in October. Hey, congratulations, Dallas fans. You're October NFL champions. I don't think a trophy goes out.
One thing I will tell you, watch out. I think San Diego is a quiet 5-1.
San Diego's a good, really good team
that nobody's talking about.
Yep. Arizona leading the NFC West. This could, folks, come into our dream that we had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where a 500 or sub-500 Saints or 9-7 Saints team with a record just a little bit worse than Seattle.
So even 8-8.
Well, even 10-8. Seattle still could go 11-5 and, you know.
Yeah,
finish second.
We go 8-8 and still host them.
We go 10-6. It don't matter. As long as we win the division. That would be, again, if we can't have the Super Bowl, that would make this a successful season.
If you're going to have a slow start in the NFC South, this is the year to do it.
Right.
Well,
right.
Yes.
Put it that way. Oof. Okay. Now we're going to take a break from football and go into tweets from the Twitter thing. And again, since this is the bye week, we're going to have a tweet response to a tweet that Neil's been sending over to us for the last couple of weeks. I think it came out from when the NCIS New Orleans premiered, and we were tweeting a lot about that one. So he asked us, which movies or TV shows do we feel best depict New Orleans accurately? And again, Neil, before we started the show and we're talking about it, I think we came up with, I don't know that any really do. So what we're really going to do is just talk about random ones that we can think of and just say what's either good or bad about them. And so with that, let's not do anything from the 80s, guys. Unless it's...
Wait, what?
There's not many. It's a classic, you fucking idiot.
Okay, how many people have said... Go ahead with your movie.
I'll let Jason start. I'll bring mine in a second.
All right, if you mentioned 80s, I honestly don't remember a lot of this movie, but I remember... seeing it.
God damn.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I don't have an opinion on it. But the Dennis Quaid movie, Undercover Blues, that was filmed here. And apparently Blaine was an extra.
Blaine was in that one. But you don't even know if that depicted New Orleans in any way.
All right, well, okay. Well, let's watch it. Again, there's a classic 1980 movie called The Big Easy, starring Dennis Quaid and Ellen Barkin. And Ellen Barkin was young and hot then, so it's definitely worth checking out. I'm pretty sure they also show some boobs, so if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a decent movie. It's bad part about the movie is the accent that Dennis Quaid puts on that's supposed to be New Orleans is just horrific. Yes, I mean, probably the worst accent I've ever heard. So
I don't know. That's a lot of bad accents, I'm sure.
Apparently no one can do a movie and get our accent right.
Well, because we don't have that much of an accent.
I think people who are not from here would argue a counter.
No,
I think we have an accent. I think the movies get it wrong. I think the issue is that our accent, they think it's a Southern accent, and when you go Southern, you have really like two extreme directions you can go in. One is your Texas twang country Southern, and the or even Alabama twang, and the other is your, you know, Southern Georgia sitting on the front porch having a mint julep, a la Foghorn Leghorn maybe. And neither of those are actually New Orleans or South Louisiana.
No. I think what most people try to get that accent, and I haven't heard many do it well as an imitation, but they try to do swamp people. That's a Cajun accent. You know, those people aren't putting on. Obviously, us living in the South Louisiana, we know people who speak like that or have a little bit of it, but we don't. If you grew up in Metro New Orleans suburbs,
New Orleans is a city. It ain't the country.
Right, but it's also just not, I mean, down south, I mean, they have cities down there, but they talk different. I mean, fuck, even Baton Rouge talks different than New Orleans. Baton Rouge is definitely a little more country.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where these actors are getting it from, is all the surrounding area and not New Orleans itself.
Look, New Orleans has always been an international city. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going back to the founding 300 years ago. Now, there wasn't a lot of people back then, you know, but it's always been a place of commerce and business because of the mighty Mississippi.
Oh, man, river.
But anyway, you know, but seriously, New Orleans has always been an international city, and that's why they really never developed a accent for New Orleans. Now, yes. Further out, and you know, the swamp. Yes, there's
Cajun
accent.
So it doesn't excuse when they try to do these movies. Like, again, if you look at
any
actor that tries to be a New Orleanian,
they're terrible.
They don't even, and maybe they don't go in the direction of the South Louisiana, because that's actually a really hard accent to get right consistently. You know what I mean?
Like I said, I've never heard anybody do it.
Who's not from there?
Right.
Yeah. But to me, if you're gonna be an actor who's gonna play a New Orleanian, don't do an accent. Just speak normal. It's okay. You don't have to have this crazy accent. Like, again, when you see movies that are set in L.A. or set in New York, even, you know, other than your stereotypical cab driver.
Not everybody talks like this.
Exactly. Same thing like New Orleans. Nobody in New Orleans stands on their front porch saying, "Bye, I'm going to have me a mint julep." You know, or they don't have that Alabama twang. That's why it's called an Alabama twang and not a New Orleans twang. There is no twang in New Orleans. Now, you have a yat accent in New Orleans.
There are some yats.
But I'll say, any actor who wants to do a New Orleans accent, just look at Ellen DeGeneres. Does she have an accent?
Nope. Thank you.
Only thing she does is, instead of TH, she just has a soft D, and that's the only thing we do. And I just said, that's the only thing we do. That's the only thing we do.
All right.
So movies. All right. So other than everybody gets our accent wrong. So there's your first thing, is don't ever think anything you see in a movie is an accurate portrayal of how we speak.
Right.
Okay. And number two. I mean, this is turning more into like things they get wrong.
Well, go ahead, Jeff. You give us a.
Well, I was gonna say. All right. So if I had to pick a movie that I thought didn't offend, remember Double Jeopardy with Ashley Judd, I think.
I know I've seen it. Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones, yeah. And I would say that one didn't force feed the culture. They allowed the city to be its own character, but in a very subtle way, and in the backdrop of the movie. And I thought they did a much better job of that. You know, they had a little bit of the high society debutante lifestyle that was being showcased. You know, maybe they were having dinner at Galatoire's or something. And then the only thing they did get wrong is, you know, she's running down Bourbon Street, she takes a left turn, and all of a sudden she's in the cemetery.
Well, that's
kind of like
no one gets the geography Hazard, right.
Like Dukes of Hazard film down here. 1 minute they're riding a General Lee through downtown New Orleans, and next thing you know, they're on I-10 in Baton Rouge.
Right. Well, that, again, movies do that all the time. It's why I watch.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching them. I mean, we just don't notice it when it's other places. There's a movie called 12 Rounds with John Cena in it.
John Cena, yeah, that's right.
Okay, and it's filmed in New Orleans. And they're at the police, the fire station on Decatur. And they have to get to the Hotel Monteleone in 30 minutes. Well, I can literally crawl to the Hotel Monteleone in 6 minutes, okay? I mean, it's literally a block and a half away. But, of course, he takes off and takes a left, and then he's on, you know, like I said, he's on
Canal
Street.
One-way street.
Right, he's on Canal Street up and down. And it's like, what the – where are y'all going? You know, where?
he ends up – parking like in the same parking spot.
Right, you know, I mean, if you know, but again, I'm sure I know they do that with every city, everything. It doesn't, you know, but anyway.
All right, I'm going to let go of geography then, because I had a few more I was going to bitch about geography.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's fun when you're a local from an area. Again, I'm sure New Yorkers, you know, get it all the time. People from LA.
Another one that I thought was not overly bad. Oh, and I can't remember the name of the movie. It was Denzel Washington, within the last 7 years.
The one with like the exploding barge on the river, and you got the Crescent City Connection in the back.
Yeah, there might be.
That was a good one. Like whose name?
There was some time travel in that one, I believe.
Right, right. It wasn't Angel, was it? Angel?
No,
boy. If only we had the internet. Well, I'll go say I mean, Treme, I know the story itself and left a little be desired,
Deja
but Treme was
Deja vu.
Okay. But Treme was a
did you say that before?
Pretty decent portrayal. What?
The Deja Vu movie. This whole episode is Deja Vu.
Well, there's your title.
Hey. Yeah.
I didn't watch all of Treme. Jason, did you watch the whole thing?
It really I watched the whole thing. It was like the story kind of really meandered. Like it really didn't, you know, like there wasn't this great overall purpose or journey, it seemed. But I did like the local scenes. I mean, they were as authentic.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
As any kind of major media, it was definitely authentic. And that's something you're not used to seeing. Hey, well, who's got the gumbo party on fucking Kayville? I mean, That's a problem. That's what we've been used to because they portray us like shit.
Like we eat gumbo every day.
Right.
Well, that was, again, opening episode, the premiere of CSI New Orleans, they force fed all of New Orleans culture in 30 minutes. And it's like, dude, your whole series is going to be in New Orleans. You can give us a slow drip. But, you know, he walks in and sees somebody and is like, you just here because you missed my gumbo. Like, no one greets anyone like that in New Orleans.
I mean, the one thing, I mean, if you're talking about the first episode, in that case, it's the pilot, so they don't know if it's going to be picked up. It's more likely that they are going to jamming a lot more stuff in the pilot in hopes it gets picked up. I mean, I haven't seen any episodes. I don't know how it's been.
It's for CSI Miami or NCIS Miami, whatever it is. I've watched the first one. It's all right. The city is a character, you know. And besides that, it's every other freaking NCIS out there, any network television, which is very badly written because you have to start a plot and finish it in an hour, you know. So
right,
it's very
play to the dumbest common denominator. No offense to anyone who watches and listens.
That's why they toss in more New Orleans landmarks because dumb people like that. Whoa, New Orleans.
Ooh, a beat. I've seen that before. I've seen a beat.
Oh, now you guys are doing terrible New Orleans accents.
Goddamn bourbon.
He let the horse done come out the barn.
Well, no, I was actually doing an accent of someone not from New Orleans. Is what I was doing.
Oh,
but
that was the dumb person.
Right,
I'll
the
say,
dumb person.
I'll say, is that there? Something I've seen before.
Hey, what's going on this side?
Mint Julep.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it's decent to watch. I love watching any and everything New Orleans. You know, I
still love watching it.
Right. Right. So I DVR those, and one day I'll sit down when I have nothing else to do, and I'll watch it.
One thing that I thought did a pretty good job was True Detective.
for South Louisiana.
Right. I mean, the southern. It's not necessarily New Orleans, but the southern Louisiana. I thought they got it right.
No, they did. They did. Now, do you know what they based that story on? I watched something on Vice about it, and if you go to Vice,
did they base it on Electrical's son who went on a serial killing spree?
No. They used the the Satanism and part from that case in Ponchatoula in the 90s. I'm not sure if y'all remember that, but they had a case of child abuse at the Hosanna Church in the 90s, and so I thought it was pretty cool. You know, just being that it was Ponchatoula, and obviously we're so close.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What about Interview with a Vampire? And I know that's kind of a period piece, probably more so. You know, that was set in New Orleans, not necessarily New Orleans today.
What about The Princess and the Frog? Get
the fuck out of here with that shit.
Just making sure you're paying attention, even though it did technically take place in New Orleans.
But again, I think, like, I mean, I guess... Treme did the best just because it had, I don't know, longer to maybe flush out the character than everything.
Real, I mean, and they had a lot of local actors. I mean, there were certain mainstream actors, but a lot of the peripheral actors, like the guy, the dentist who was married to LaDonna.
Right.
Well, I guess, well, fuck, yeah, I'll probably quit watching, but he's a local actor.
Right,
so
right. I know.
At least it's somebody who's from here who knows how to speak.
Well, he just spoke normal. He just spoke normal.
Right. He he talked normal.
Right. He just spoke normal. John Goodman was in it. I don't think he was born here, but he's a local.
He lives here.
He
yeah.
called the city home.
You know, Jeff, you shouldn't have quit because September ended up being in Treme.
Oh, from Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Maybe now you're watching.
Nope.
Thank you.
What about the Pelican Brief?
I never saw the Pelican Brief.
Really? That's a good movie, but I think it was shot in New Orleans, and if it was set in New Orleans, I'm not even sure that
I think it was set in New Orleans. The book was set in New Orleans, obviously. The Pelican Brief was written yes. No, Jeff, it was...
Makes sense, the title.
It was shot in Salt Lake City. It was...
John
Grisham wrote the novel, and he's from Oxford and he's from Mississippi, so he's very familiar with New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. I'm not it's been so long since I saw the movie, so I don't remember. But I would imagine that they didn't force accents in that one.
No, Julia Roberts and Denzel Washington, no.
All right, so there you have it. I mean, the main thing is when you watch anything set in New Orleans... And I guess it's for us to learn too. I guess lessons like if we watch something set in Miami or L.A. or anything, they're gonna pull out and accentuate the stereotypes and the cliches, and really push it hard and make it seem like it's a lot more than it really is. And I guess this, again, we don't mind it as not people who are not from Miami. So most likely, when other people from outside watch New Orleans, they're probably not as sensitive to it. And they probably don't think it's being forced.
No, because anything that comes on and it's kind of about you or your area, you're going to take an interest in it. You're going to be more invested in it, and you're going to critique it a lot more.
Yeah. Just stop doing the accents.
Yeah, I'm good with
I'll
that.
I'll forgive the geography, because you're right, Damon. Like, you have to do that in order to tell.
Whatever can get you the shot.
Right. Like, how many times on Dexter did, he's driving downtown, he turns a corner, and he's on the beach? And I know that's not accurate.
No, not by no stretch. Right.
So, and Damon, because you go there at least once a week on Google Maps.
Exactly.
All right. Let's move on to Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
One thing that I've learned is we suck at Pick'ems.
Oh.
So, wasn't that great of a week. Jeff went 3-2. He had the best week. Damon, you went 2-3. And I went 1-4.
Woohoo! Okay, not a bad week, guys.
Yeah, we suck at
Pick'ems. I'm behind you now.
Right, yeah, that's it. After 6 weeks, I am in first place.
We're tied.
You're in first place 12, among us.
Right, among us. Yeah, I ain't beating nobody. 12, 16, and 2, and then you two are both a game back at 11, 17, 2.
Yep. And that puts us at 5th, 6th, and 7th, or 5th and tied for 6th. In first place. Now, this is just based on the percentages. Glenn, 2722, he came on last week, so he's only played 2 weeks, but he does have a 700 record at 7-3. Alex is in second place, Alex Barbie, with a 580 record. He's 14-10-1. Nola Space Monkey with 10-9-1. Neil at 500, 12-12-1. And then Jason, Damon, me. Craig, you had a great week. Craig went 5-0 this week.
Wow, he's on a hot streak. Whatever he did different, it's working.
That's right. He's now, but he's still in second to last place still because he had such a bad start. 10-18-2. And then Michael Wheelahan, he only played 2 weeks, but he's 2-7-1, and he's kind of riding the bottom. I think we're going to, after this week, you will have had to play 3 weeks in order to be on the board. So we're going to have to do like, you have to have played half the season at any given point in time. So next week, it's going to be 5, 10, 15 game minimum.
All right, first game of the week. The Cincinnati Bengals coming fresh off their tie at the Indianapolis Colts. Colts coming off a strong performance, hanging on to beat Houston at home on Thursday night. T.J. Hilton went nuts. Indy is favored by 3.
Did you say T.J. Hilton?
I thought I said T.Y. Jelly.
All right, Colts are favored by 3?
Colts are favored by 3.
And Cincinnati, man, that tie makes this one a tough choice.
I don't think that has any effect on it, right?
No, not really. I'm going to take the Colts.
You're sticking with luck.
Yes, I am. Didn't I win them last week?
You did. That was my only win of the week.
Ooh, with a Jeff loss? Or did we all take them?
No, we all won that one.
No, we all took
them. You know, every single person that played Pick'ems took them last week?
Damon, you may be on to something there.
You know, stealing my little...
Yep, because I'm going to take them again this week.
Yeah. Well, then I'm going to take him.
Well, I mean, A.J. Green's not playing, so.
Well, and Cincinnati looked like shit.
Scored 30-something points.
Yeah, they're just not, I don't know, something's wrong with Cincinnati. I thought they'd be better.
Well, their home winning streak is.
Although Indianapolis did let Houston score 28.
Next game, San Francisco 49ers at the Denver Broncos. Denver coming off a thrashing of. Wait, no, that was... Who did they play this week? Oh, they played the Jets. Actually, that was a close game. I was surprised.
31-17.
I mean, this was like...
not close.
What's that?
31-17. I don't think that's close.
For the Jets, it is. Jets are not good.
What?
I mean, look, this was the lock of the year. Yeah. Was Denver beat the Jets.
Yeah, what the spread? That's gonna be...
Denver favored by 7.
San Fran isn't that bad.
They're also not
I'm going to go with San Fran. I think Denver wins the game, but that defense makes it a field goal game.
I agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, right, that's why 7's a lot. I like San Fran with 7.
Yeah.
Damn it, I thought I was going to be different than y'all on that one.
No. Again, San Fran, look, they came out, they stumbled the first couple of weeks of the season, but they really picked it up and kind of, you know, got their...
Kaepernick, man. He's elite.
Oh, Jesus. All right, let's go to our next game. The Carolina Panthers coming off a tie at the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay. What's the spread?
The other one, Green Bay favored by 7.
Ooh.
Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm staying with them. I think Carolina's in a tailspin, and I love it.
Yeah.
They're not in the tailspin. You know what? I'm going to go Carolina.
I think
Green Bay wins, but only by 4.
There you go.
I'm taking a chance. All right, our next game. Kansas City Chiefs coming off a bye week at the aforementioned, I think you mentioned earlier, San Diego Chargers, 5-1.
Yeah. This is going to be a big title bout here.
In San Diego, it's an AFC West clash. The Chargers are favored by 4.
Hmm.
I might have to take Kansas City on this one. Does Kansas City have everybody healthy?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Priest Holmes?
Jesus. That, folks, is all you need to know.
Is Christian Okoye going to dress out this week?
Right.
The Nigerian Nightmare.
Marcus Allen.
Marty Schottenheimer on the sidelines.
I think this game is going to be tight no matter what. So
4 is a lot. Either division rival.
Yeah, I mean, whether if San Diego wins, it's going to be by 1 or 2. And if Kansas City wins, it's going to be by 1 or 2. So I'm going to go with KC on this one.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
You're taking the points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go San Diego.
There you go.
I'm going to go San Diego also.
All right. Going to pick up a game on you.
That's what you think.
I believe in the Chiefs.
Oh, Jesus.
The Chiefs?
Did you even know they exist Jesus. Before 2 minutes ago?
Hey, real quick question, side note. If everybody has an issue with Redskins, why is nobody picking on the Chiefs?
Because it's a... I don't know.
Because Redskin is derogatory and Chiefs is...
Right.
Because Chiefs are respectful. You're the Chief.
But I thought part of the argument about the Redskins was you shouldn't even be using anything about their culture.
Right.
Because
they
don't want to be treated like animals because most mascots are animals.
Right. We're not mascots. I love, and it's not popular today, but I love the...
Or the Cleveland Indians, by the way.
Tomahawk chop.
That's the Braves.
Well, but they are all
in Florida State.
In Florida State, and just about everybody picked it up in the early 90s. Just about anybody was doing it for anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. And now, our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. I got a piece of shit card.
We have a repeat visitor to the shitty game of the week this week.
Atlanta?
Well, they weren't in it last week, even though they did play a shitty game.
Oh, you mean back-to-back week?
Right. I'm talking about back-to-back.
I'm taking whoever's playing Jacksonville.
Jacksonville,
actually, Jacksonville covered the spread last week.
So it's the Tennessee Titans coming off a 2-point victory at home against the Jags at the Washington Redskins. Crazy enough, Washington is favored by 4.5. Yeah, Washington coming off another loss. Kirk Cousins just keeps throwing picks.
Yeah, Cousins is bad.
And Charlie Whitehorse is, I think, still playing for Tennessee. I heard somebody on the radio mention Charlie Whitehorse throws for a career high 240 yards.
Oh, poor guy.
So, yeah, Redskins favored by 4.5.
All right, I'm going to use the point spread on this one.
Well, we're all using the point
spread. I mean my little net point spread. So, the Redskins are minus 34. Tennessee's minus 49. So you said we're giving Tennessee 4 points?
Yes, 4.5.
So that still doesn't catch them up to Washington's minus 34. So I got to.
That's the way math works.
I got to stay with Washington.
There is nothing scientific or even close to fucking rational.
No, but I went 3-2 last week and you went 2-3. And helped me win last year. So.
Well, I'm staying with Washington. I'm Washington, the much better team at home. Pick. Well, I use
a different logic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I might take Washington too.
Oh, you like the little net point game?
Well, no, I don't. I have no. I just if Mettenberger or Locker was playing, I'd take Tennessee. But if it's Whitehurst, nah. I mean, they barely squeak by fucking Jacksonville.
There you go.
And that,
right, there you go.
And that is the biggest logic to use. They barely.
Yeah, right.
There's your pick'ems, folks. Don't forget, you can play along with us. Just look for the tweet that we post that puts a link out to the survey, and you can play. The minimum to be on the board, though, is a 15-game minimum, so you got to get it in there. I don't know how you're going to catch up if you haven't, but whatever. Next segment is Saints Preview. Saints are going to head up to New Orleans North to play against the old Saints, the Detroit Lions. If Reggie Bush says he's going to play.
I hope he does.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't slightly a little nervous about Reggie Bush. Knowing how bad our defense has been,
yeah,
and the way guys can, you know, this is the type of game where players usually come to play, like Steve Smith a couple weeks ago. I mean, there's a chance Reggie could just have one of those.
Yeah, but Reggie hasn't been a Saint for a long enough time where I don't.
Right.
Well, not as long as Steve Smith, but he's 5 years and he won a fucking Super Bowl.
And he's been gone 5 years.
Yes, but he hasn't played it yet.
You know, yeah, no one cares about Reggie Bush. And there's no animosity between the teams. I mean, I'm sure he'd like to do good, but he, you know, fuck Reggie Bush.
Good news is, Calvin Johnson might not play.
That would be great.
That would be the best thing that could ever happen, because that means
they wouldn't score 8 touchdowns.
I don't know who Corey Wired or P-Rod would guard. I just know Keenan Lewis would be on Golden Taint.
Yeah.
Did you say Golden Taint?
I did. So that would be a massive, massive boost if Calvin doesn't play.
Look, Detroit's coach is their offensive...
Caldwell.
Yeah, but I'm talking about their offensive coordinator is Lombardi.
Oh, yeah, Lombardi, yeah.
Who, you know, was a quarterback coach here, kind of integrated into our offense. So I don't think he can tell Caldwell anything. Caldwell is an idiot who just stands on the sideline. Sean Payton had him in the Super Bowl. Detroit looks good sometimes. They look terrible sometimes. I don't know. Just block Ndamukong Suh, please. So,
yeah, you're right.
You know,
yep.
For the love of Christ,
can't have them getting interior pressure. That's gonna be,
right, and that's gonna be tough. They have a hell of a defensive line. That's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a tough game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it gonna be more like the Dallas game, or?
Yes.
Do you think it's gonna be bad?
I think it's going to be...
Well, no, I mean, I think...
Is this the first time you're going to predict a loss?
I'm not predicting a loss this week, especially... I mean, look, if there's a pretty good chance Calvin Johnson doesn't play, we can go in there and win that game.
But again...
It's on turf, it's indoors.
You forget our defense still has to play half the game.
Right, and then the interior pressure by the D-line, that's going to hurt our offense bad. I mean...
But I did say we were optimistic.
Yeah, well, we'll wait to pick them, and then we'll, you know, I mean, predict it for them.
That's the number one key is to block the line and allow Breeze time to throw. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And then get to Stafford.
It's going to be a tough game this week. We have a lot going against us. Being on the road, for some reason, we can no longer play on the road. But we are indoors on a fast track, so that should help somewhat.
Make sure to go eat Popeyes.
Yes. I'm just more, again, worried about interior line pressure because that always screws us up. You know, hopefully Peyton will have a plan for that. Some quick screens and passes, you know.
What did you see? Larry Holder wrote a column about the last game and about Jari Evans getting cut, basically destroyed by McCoy, and Evans came back to him on Twitter and said something about, oh, don't bring your Pulitzer next time or something like that to that effect.
Yeah.
Jari Evans actually responded to him on Twitter, which I thought was interesting.
Right. Well, and you talking about that Holder actually had a Pulitzer.
Yeah, he actually did.
Well, but the thing is, he wasn't awarded the Pulitzer individually. It was an award given.
Okay.
It was an award given to the area for Katrina coverage. So,
okay.
No offense,
okay.
Fuck Larry Holder. That you even hold, you know, that's like winning second place in the fucking title. Okay. You don't have a Pulitzer.
I just got that.
It's a participation trophy. It's what he got. So, fuck Larry Holder. We're trying to be a smartass is my only thing.
Yeah.
I mean, besides that, he's all right. But fuck him. Smartass.
So, let's hope the offensive line needs to come to play this week.
Yep.
Needs to give him time to let some plays develop down the field.
Yeah.
See if we can run... Something without Jimmy in there, we're going to have to do something.
Josh
Well,
Hill.
Jason, I think you might have just hit on something there. Let some plays develop if we can, you know, because we are, it seems, you know, rushing.
Rushing and dink and dunk.
Yeah.
5-6 yards. Bloop, 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 bloop. Yeah. And unless some of that has to do with the offensive line, too. If he doesn't have the wall, we can just sit back and just wait. And just let him run the routes to get open.
And I will say, people talking about Drew Brees trying not going deep enough. Did see a chart. I mean, he's gone deep 1.4 times per game. His average is like 1.5. Like the seasons that we've done the best, he goes deep 1.5 per game. So he's doing the same stuff.
We're just not connecting on it.
Exactly. And he's always thrown a lot of interceptions.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's not new either.
Right.
It's just accentuated because it's losses.
I mean, this is it. There's no, the next handful of games are all going to be tough games.
Yeah.
No rest for the weary here.
Well, like we said, your sphincter's going to get pretty tight when you look at the next six games. It's already get graphic on you, folks.
Get that fucking road win that we need. Especially since, the division's right there in front of us. I mean, Carolina's got a couple of tough games. They got Green Bay this week. They got another tough game next week. It's like, shit.
Yeah, they're trying to give us this division.
I mean, shit, maybe a six-win team will win the division. Who fucking knows?
That would be embarrassing, but I'll take it.
Hey, division winner is division winner. They get to host a playoff game.
Okay. Scores?
I'm going to go 27-21. Thanks.
Calvin Johnson will not play. 20-17, New Orleans.
Well, my sphincter just got a little tighter.
I don't see a scoring over 20 points with, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm going to be the optimist here. I'm going to say
107-0. Go Saints!
Josh Hill scores 5 touchdowns.
In the first,
Junior Gillette gets
in the
6
first
sacks.
Quarter.
No, I'm going to say Saints 24, Lions, I really want to say 27, but I got to be the optimist, 21.
Does Reggie Bush score a touchdown this week? Yay or nay?
You might, Travis, you might.
There you go. Fine.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say, Reggie scores one this week.
I think so. Final thoughts.
This is it. There's no turning back. No more bye weeks. Build a little momentum. I mean, it's a big stretch. They come out of this stretch, 4-2, 5-1, beating quality teams. It bodes well.
This is a very important. Well, right now, I mean, being 2-3, every stretch is
every
important.
Game's important.
Every stretch is important. But this is quality teams. Maybe we'll play up to our opponent. Maybe that was the problem the last 5 games. We played down to our opponent.
You know, that's a good point.
That's it. Everybody eat your Popeyes this weekend. That's all I can say.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast. Check us out on Facebook by searching Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Reggie Bush donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.